FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. Today is April 19th, 2017. Well, smackdown occurring in the gold markets for the second straight day. To be expected, I guess. Dollar is down under 100. And someone whose blood pressure is never under 100, Andrew Hoffman, is with us now.
Thanks for that introduction. Yes, for the second straight, again, you say second straight day as if like this is some rare occurrence, because it happens all the time. But for the second straight day, we've now seen, quote, someone dump $3 billion worth of paper gold onto the COMEX right before at what I've called for 15 years, key attack time number one, which is 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time, which is the London PM fix, which is right. The end of global physical trading for the day. So, of course, they're trying to paint the tape for what the end of the day price is, and that's why they do it. And, you know, we were talking about yesterday how they did it. Again, we're talking about yesterday. Everything was going gold's way. I mean, it always is. But yesterday, you're talking about, I mean, a plummeting dollar, plummeting interest rates, plummeting commodities, plummeting Trumpflation propaganda, war everywhere. So, of course, right before 10 o'clock, all of a sudden gold gets hit like $10 in 2 seconds, and silver. And it came back yesterday. Shocking. Yeah. I've never seen that happen, but not a great comeback. I mean, you know, the dollar plunged even further and rates further, and gold was up $5 and silver was still down, you know, 10 cents for the day. And so that wasn't good enough. So they just did it again, minutes before the PM fix. And we'll see what happens now. Actually, I see silver is still above its 200-week moving average. It bottomed there several times at 1814, and here we are. It's at 1820 again. It's pretty encouraging. And of course, gold is 1246, so we're way above that. But what I was talking about in this weekend's Last Days of the Gold Cartel article, and pretty much the audio blog I did since, and the many articles, the three articles I've done since, we're not talking about the 200-week moving average anymore, which in itself is a massive, massive technical achievement against the most hideous, heinous gold manipulation and silver ever. Now we're talking about the downtrend line war, because when you go back to 2011, September, you know, when they attacked gold at its all-time high on the night of Labor Day, when everyone was asleep, except the Swiss bank, which, of course, was in the process of announcing their pegging the last remaining gold-backed-ish currency, the franc, to the dying euro, they smashed gold. And since that time, we've had years of them really suppressing gold in what I call the point of no return era. That is when they realized that all their post-2008 manipulations like TARP weren't working, and so they took over markets. So in that time, they've created a downtrend in dollar price gold, not in other currencies price gold, where prices have pretty much for every currency, if not reached an all-time high, they've come very close. And that includes major currencies like the euro and pound and yen and rupee and Australian, Canadian dollar, Mexican peso, you name it. So the four events that have forced the cartel to go into hyperdrive because that downtrend line was about to be breached where, well, one, you talk about the top in 2011, which started it. The second one was the summer of 2012, when you had the massive European banking crisis, when they had to bail out the Spanish banks, when Draghi came in and said he'd do whatever it takes to save the euro. That was the second time that gold was about to breach the downtrend line, so they pushed it back up. And then the other two, you had to fast forward to right after the Brexit, where gold went right up to that line until they smashed it back down. Of course, election night in November, when it went above the line briefly, as it should have. And then all of a sudden, the Trumpflation meme was born of manipulation that night, where they decided they're going to say that all the things that were supposed to be bad for stocks and good for gold were now good for stocks and bad for gold. And we've had five more months of ignominy of dealing with the lies of Trumpflation and the strengthening economy, which, as it turns out, have all failed across the board and are getting worse. And here we are again, right up against that downtrend line in gold, which is you know, somewhere around 1285 to 1290. So it shouldn't surprise you that what we've seen this week amidst an utter cataclysm of political news, geopolitical news, economic data has been these unbelievable efforts to hold prices down. In the case of silver, as I have written in my two Silver Waterloo articles of the last 2 weeks, the cartel has now taken out, as in the COMEX commercials, an all-time high short position in paper silver. All-time high. And we don't even have a crisis right now. The highest before that was last summer, right after the Brexit. But now they've taken it even more, and they've taken the open interest to an all-time high as well. They're just going berserk, trying to hold the prices down. And yet prices, by the way, are up, and they're up above the 200-week moving averages. And yet they just keep trying because they're so terrified of the physical shortages that are coming now that production is falling off a cliff. Currencies have been crashing around the world. You know, we have all the central banks are going berserk. And I mean, and look what's going on in this country, the political dysfunction, the wars, the debt ceiling, the government shutdown that are all coming within weeks, the French election, which is coming starting this weekend. So again, you know, we are in monetary war. There's no other way of putting it right now. And the powers that be have been losing this war, even though it doesn't feel like it in our sector for some time. It certainly doesn't feel like it if you live in other countries where the price has been soaring. But again, you know, we're talking about, you know, drastic things being attempted at drastic times. These are trapped rats. That are at the end of their ballast for staying afloat. And so therefore, it's a good thing we own the physical stuff and not the paper, and we sit and wait out our winning hand.
Yeah, they're like rats running from a tenement fire, you know? That's what
I mean. It's like, you know, it's like, remember when the Chinese back in January, the offshore yuan got to like exactly 7.0 or 6.99. And then they come out saying, you know, saying we're going to be strong with the yuan and we're going to have capital controls and we won't let it happen. It's the same thing. You know, Steve Mnuchin comes out Wednesday afternoon or Monday afternoon. Again, this is after this 3-day weekend where we're all but attacking North Korea, and the retail sales report came out. And it was horrifying. And all this stuff. And he comes out just as the dollar index gets to exactly 100 and says, Trump didn't really mean it when he said he wanted a weak dollar. Of course, he didn't actually say that. What he said was he didn't mean it, but I agree with it, even though he didn't mean it. And at the same time, even though in the long term, a strong dollar is good, whatever long term means, in the short term, the dollar needs to depreciate. So he didn't even back up what Trump said or disputed. He just comes out and talks so that the cartel can attack. And then, of course, yesterday the dollar plummeted even further. It got to 99.5 at the end of the day, and that's why they had to attack prices. And then when the price came up again, they had to cap it. And then this morning they attack it again. And after all the bluster, you look at gold at 1277 compared to 1290 when he started, you know, jawboning. Well, the dollar is 99.8 right now versus 100 when he started talking. So the dollar is down. Interest rates are up slightly today, but they were down 8 basis points yesterday. They hit 217 yesterday, and now they're 222, which, aside from yesterday, is the lowest point since the election. In other words, the Trumpflation meme is dead, and my 2.5% enough said prediction about that being the top of the Treasury yield back in January has been dead on right, and it's going to go under 2%, and it's going to go way under 2%, and it's going to cause the Fed to have to monetize further when things get worse later in this year.
Yeah, well, no doubt you are correct. It's definitely coming. You can kind of feel the crisis approaching, if you will.
And, it's here. I mean, it's so funny that we talk about this. The only non-crisis is in the rigged stock market, the rigged United States stock market. That's it. Everywhere else is crisis. You know, global bond markets have been in turmoil all year, commodity prices, currencies, and of course, the geopolitical things going on. If you take out the last to go markets, the PPT that supports the Dow Jones propaganda average, and the cartel that holds down paper prices in dollar terms of gold and silver, we are in crisis. But, you know, they have bought themselves a little more time for the big one, you know, the big one that follows 2008 and isn't reversed by doing this. But, you know, all they're doing is these machinations are making the ultimate failure that much worse.
Yeah. And fail it will, because there is no other alternative here. There's no way to save it, you know.
It's like I'm reading today, and again tomorrow I'll be taping Miles Franklin's third All-Star Silver webinar panel, with David Morgan, Steve St. Angelo, and Craig Hemke. You know, I see an article today from Steve's talking about how Peruvian silver production is down 13% year over year. I mean, this is one of the, I think it's the second largest silver producer in the world. So what they've inadvertently created, aside from crashing by pushing this game on so far, aside from crashing currencies, which has created record demand, is production has plummeted. I said it three plus years ago that this would happen, and it's happening now. We're talking about, you know, gold and silver production will likely fall probably by 25% in the next 5 or 10 years. And this is at a time where these currencies are crashing. So, of course, demand is going to surge. And we know that the whatever inventories are left are minuscule. I mean, just look at what the COMEX is reporting. They got $500 million, million of silver that's registered for delivery there. I mean, you know, something is going to give just like it did in 2008, 2011. And it's just a matter of when. But in the meantime, when you're, you know, it's the darkest, I'd say it feels like the darkest before the dawn at the end here, but you know, mine, gold and silver are up pretty considerably from their lows. So it's not like it's that dark, but to watch the level of rigging of markets and watch the amount of people whose lives are being destroyed by a handful that just could not care about anything less but staying in power and stealing the world's wealth is just a sight to behold. And that includes, of course, our commander in chief, who is, to me, he's no better than Hillary Clinton. The only reason I voted for him was because he wasn't Hillary Clinton. But as far as I'm concerned, he's now officially Hillary Clinton.
Well, I don't know about that. He has stopped the flow of illegals largely without trying.
First of all, how do you know he stopped the flow of illegals?
Well, that's what the media told me.
I don't see any wall. And second of all, who cares about the flow of illegals? I'm talking about the things that he promised. Yeah. And I'm not just talking about repeal of Obamacare, because we all knew that wasn't going to happen. I'm talking about every single thing that he said he was going to, that he stood for, he's going against, including bombing the entire world and potentially putting us in World War III. So I don't want to hear from anyone. Because again, you know, I've had people say, well, how can you talk bad about Donald Trump? It'll be bad for business. Would you think that anyone who voted for Donald Trump voted for him because they like him or think he was going to do anything? Mm-hmm. The guy has got a history of being like the worst possible person with no real major successes except getting lucky in real estate because of his ego and because he has a personality that worked on The Apprentice. This is a guy who's failed in just about everything he's done and was universally despised until he went up against Hillary Clinton. Yeah. And the reason that people in the gold community support him was because they thought it would make gold go up, not because they thought do you think I want any, you know, I want anything other than the end of this heinous system that's destroying the world? I thought he might be the way to get there. And yeah, we're going to get there because of the political dysfunction that he's causing, which is certainly more than even Hillary Clinton could have done. But no, there's no love for Donald Trump in this community. We just wanted Hillary Clinton to lose. And we thought maybe the system would finally, the things that we're watching going on today, we thought would finally end if he was there. And of course, they're worse than ever.
What, you mean they? I thought they were repealing Obamacare, Andy. Did I miss that?
Well, we knew that wasn't happening. I said it from day one. There's not a chance in hell that could ever happen, or that there'd be tax cuts or stimulus or any of that stuff. That was just rhetoric. But we're talking about, I'm not going to be bombing every country. And, you know, and you look at all the flip-flops, whatever you want to call it. Literally everything he said, he's going back on. NATO is obsolete. No, no, it's not obsolete. Iran is a disastrous deal. No, Iran is compliant. I mean, he just, I'm going to drain the swamp, but he hires all of Goldman Sachs to be, I mean, he literally went out of his way, not just to get like the worst possible people around him, but literally to pick every imaginable Goldman Sachs person when he knows that Goldman Sachs is the most despised firm and the most representative of what's wrong with America. And he went out of his way to hire as many people from Goldman Sachs in his inner circle as possible.
This is true. You can't deny that. That's for sure. You know, Goldman Sachs seems to be firmly embedded in the U.S. government, and nothing is ever going to change that.
Well, that will change, of course, because this whole system is a Ponzi scheme, which is near the end. And when it dies, it's not going to be Goldman Sachs. It's going to be at the top of the food chain. There's going to be chaos, and there's going to be a changing of the guard. Look, we saw a changing of the guard in the UK. We saw one with Donald Trump. I mean, we may well see one in France this weekend, or Italy, or Spain, or all these places. So no, Goldman Sachs is not going to stay around forever. But right now, they are still at the top of the food chain. The problem is that food chain, or that house of cards, is more shaky than it's ever been. And there's nothing that's going to prevent it from collapsing.
So, well, my feeling is Goldman Sachs is forever.
All right.
Good. I don't think whatever new system comes about, there will be a Goldman Sachs.
Maybe, maybe not. But but you know, it doesn't. I don't really care if Goldman Sachs is in the new system. The point is that we're, you know, the rigging of the gold and silver market, which I talk about for a living, is not going to be run by Goldman Sachs when the game ends. And I don't really care who's going to be in charge of the new government, but I do care about the financial status of myself and my family and my readers.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I just believe that the powerful always rise to the top of the food chain, regardless what happens to this system and the next system and the next system, until there's really, truly a people's system. This is what we're stuck with, and nothing is going to change that, Andy.
Right. Well, I don't think there'll be a people system anytime soon, like in Star Trek. Even in Star Trek, I think it's ambiguous what that system is. I know they got rid of money, but I do know that the future is going to be a lot more balanced. It's not going to be a handful of people like we see right now, because there's just too many people are being destroyed by what these handful of people have done. And so I think the initial elections kind of things that we're seeing is foreshadowing in a world where there's now 7+ billion people. I mean, you know, when I was born, it was half of that. So there's a lot more angry people out there and a lot more scarce resources that are being taken up by this handful. So I think sadly, the root of it is the bad money. And the bad money is what's going to suffer the most when this system comes down. And, you know, now we have things like cryptocurrency coming into play, which I believe with all my heart is going to be the future money. And when it is the future money, this decentralized money that governments can't control, it's going to have a dramatic impact on who runs the world and on Goldman Sachs's power.
So what about overpopulation? Do you think bad money is somewhat responsible for overpopulation as well?
Probably. I mean, it's the root cause. I wrote about in my Direst Prediction of All article way back a couple of years ago. You know, it comes from David Stockman's great work. The bad money is why we have overcapacity of everything. Too many cars, too many oil wells, too much government, and probably too much. I mean, look at all the and I'm not talking about the demographics that are declining now because of baby boomers. I'm talking about, look at the birth rates in the places now where you have the highest cost of living. Way down. Japan, like in the United States, like in Europe, they're plunging. People are having less children. And the reason being is because they now can't afford to have more children because of all the debts they've accumulated and the cost of living. And they would never have gotten in this position if the bad money hadn't caused them to create so much debt and to believe that they could have more children. So absolutely, overpopulation is partly, I mean, it's not solely, but it's definitely been dramatically aided by all of the bad money.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. I think you're correct. And I think you can trace many of the world's ills to this phenomena of worthless money, fake money.
It's the root of all evils, and it has been throughout history. There's been more people destroyed by the 1% or the 0.1% as a result of fiat currency than anything in history. I guess you could say religious wars might be on top of that, but not by much. It's mostly the bad money, and that's why in this age of technology, of dramatic technology improvements, the world is fighting back. It's kind of like in Jurassic Park, where Jeff Goldblum says, you know, life finds a way. Well, humanity is finding a way. And in my belief, that humanity is going to be cryptocurrency, because it can become the world's money without governments being able to control it. And of course, it'll take some time, and governments will and are doing everything they can to control it, but they won't be able to control it, because ultimately humanity is going to evolve to away from this bad money, which has destroyed it for so many millennia, into a form that governments cannot control.
Yeah, no, totally right. And, you know, we're in for some interesting times here for sure. And hey, just batten down the hatches, be prepared, because, you know, this is real. This is not something Andy and I are making up. Anyway, go check out Andy's work at milesfranklin.com. Sign up for his daily missive and frequent audio blogs. Any questions, comments, whatever you have on the show or others that we do, just send me an email, kl@carrielutz.com, kl@carrielutz.com, Twitter feed, @CarrieLutz. Facebook page is Financial Survival Network. And sign up for the newsletter while you're there. Andy, we'll talk to you again real soon.
Looking forward to it.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.